This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Chivago Line is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful but threatening Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us today on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. don't ever make this mistake I made. So me and my son got in from Freeport last night. On the way around about 7 o'clock, I'd say, on the way to the hotel, we decided to get something to eat. So went and get something to eat, went by, I can call your name, went by Wendy's, get something to eat. And I got one of Wendy's Frappuccino. This was a Frappuccino. Didn't dawn on me, didn't click on me, but I went and got it. I noticed it was richer brown than normal, right? And I thought, this coloration don't seem right. Seems really brown. Anyways, went home, went to the hotel, ate, drank the Frappuccino. You know, it wasn't, it tasted a little strong, but I mean, hey, you know, whatever. It wasn't bad. I'm sitting up 11 o'clock, wondering, like, I feel sleepy, but I can't sleep. 12 o'clock, I feel sleepy, but I can't sleep. 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. I'm wondering, like, why can I not sleep? And as I was walking in the front area of the room, I thought to myself, it's the Frappuccino, dude. That's all like caffeine. And whoever made it with far more coffee than they are supposed to. Won't be doing that again. That caffeine don't play. I did not fall asleep until 3 o'clock this morning. And that was not good. That was not the plan. Right? So, you know, Wendy's, make sure your people, yeah, I was wired. That's exactly what happened. And Wendy's, y'all need to tell. I had Frappuccino from Wendy's before. I thought it was great. But that one, they didn't follow the recipe. And I paid the price. Anyways, we're still under watch. Still having to deal with this system. Nicole is still approaching. And I gave my son a lesson point. When we were on our way to the airport in Freeport, I saw the water depot and I showed him the long line of the water depot. I said, see you, son. That's what happens when the rush is on. And, you know, even before the storm was approaching, I would not have had that issue because I believed in stocking up in the hurricane season so that you don't get caught up in that rush. I understand the same thing was happening at some stores here in Nassau and, you know, and elsewhere. So that's good. People are, you know, preparing, and that's good. Stay safe, be safe, and do what you have to do. So far, I spoke to my mom in Freeport. She said that the wind had picked up, but it was still a sunny day, so it wasn't that bad. I don't know what's happening just now in Freeport. I know Nassau is overcast, breezy. The sea is certainly billowing up in anger. Not serious yet, but it's billowing up some. So let's be watchful and stay watchful. I don't have much more I can say than that about the storm, right? And I want to say or query, please feel free to do so. But I did want to mention a couple of things today. I'm going to give you some lessons that I learned after maybe 20 years of dealing with investors, in particular with foreign, the direct investors, the people who want to do business in your country or from within your country, who are coming to bring real dollars and put a real business on the ground. There are some things that I learned over the years that helps me not to waste time. So remember the announcement that was made about Alukaya, Brian Lucaya, and its sale? Happened very early in the new term of the Davis administration. Of course, if you're in Grand Bahama, you were happy to hear something had turned. But let me tell you what is true about Grand Bahamians. See, Absovians comment after an announcement was made that the buyers are not pursuing it anymore. And Nassauvians are commenting that, you know, as if this is like some kind of something, right? Now, I understand that from Nassauvians. Grand Bahamians don't operate like that on investment announcements anymore, folks. This is an island that's been in economic downturn, stagnation for well over 20 years now. And they do not really, they hear announcements, but they don't really listen to announcements. They're not listening to announcements. You know what they're listening for? By the way, we are hiring now. By the way, the contractors are on the property now, and they are digging trenches. Creed and steel, that's what they lay watching for. You know why? Because after 20 years of announcements, nothing, they just don't do that anymore. I'm just being honest with you, right? Grand Bahamians are not there with announcements. Now, here's how I gauge whether an announced investment is really real or not. Now, I looked at the individuals involved with this announcement of Grand Lucaya. The company seemed legitimate enough for me. So I don't question their legitimacy. I don't question that they wanted to do something, etc. But here's how it got real for me real quick. Let me tell y'all something. There's this. Is the great combination for investments to materialize. This. Are you listening? Or you all want me to don't say this? You want me to don't mention this? You. This is the great combination. Listen to me. I hear all of you, oh, the Bahamas is such a beautiful place. We have everything we need for this and everything we need. We should be knocking. Let's listen to me. The great combination for an investment to really take off are these. Market, identified market, significant enough profits, and money in hand. Let me say it again. If an investor has identified a definite market for himself or herself, or their group. If an investor has a real vision for levels of profit to do a business, and that investor has money, you ain't gonna hear nothing but no long talk, no delayed due diligence, still doing due diligence. When I heard that, I knew wasn't a possible chance it would have happened. When you still doing due diligence like that, you know what you're saying to me? They don't look good. And so I knew, I said, I mean, I wasn't going to come on and say anything to dampen the spirits of anybody, but I just didn't. People with money, y'all saw when Saul Kersnicki into the Bahamas to Atlantis? That man was looking for spot. He wasn't looking for no money. He wasn't looking for no market. He was looking for, and he thought he could make money in the Bahamas. He went to Grand Bahama first. Didn't have the best experience with them down there. Then he came to Nassau. He was chasing a spot, not, what you could do for me here, what you could do for me there, blah, 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 blah. That man had the combination you need to make things happen. When the container port was going down there in Grand Bahama, you ain't hear nobody talk about Ingram, there's an announcement, and then there's a due diligence and delay here and delay here. Boom. Hutchison Whampoa put the container port down there. Grand Bahama Shipyard, boom, put the shipyard down there. That's what happens. When Borco was being purchased by Buckeye, boom, money in hand, profits to be made, market identified, no problema. Albany, boom, no problema. Sandals, no problema. Breezes, no problema. When you see too much talking going on around any investment prospect, hold your head up. The probability ain't really high that thing can happen. Same thing happened with the Minnesota administration, all that talk. When investors have money to be made, they don't want to waste no time talking. They come and plow their money in the ground. Just give me my permissions. Let me go to work. So when you want to, when you hear an announcement, just see how much action follows the announcement versus talk. That's a good rule of thumb. When you hear an investor leads with, I want to do this for the Bahamas, I want to do that, they're selling you a story, not an investment. When an investor is serious about an investment, they talk about the business. Don't talk about what charity they could do for you. I want to make sure I do this. That's all great, but that's not what you want them to lead with. You want them to lead with the profits that they can make by having a good, sound business. So when you hear investors doing too much talking around what they want to do for you and, we want to make the government this and we want the government that and the government and the government and the government, break off. Listen, don't hold your breath. Probably nothing is going to happen. People that believe that there's money to be made and they have monies to plow into what they're doing to make that money, they ain't running around talking too much talk. Their talk is done with their potential partners. Their talk is done with their potential clients or customers. Their talk is done with their potential vendors. Their talk is done with their potential financiers. They're talking to the people who can make it happen. They're talking about the thing so to try to sell no dreams to anybody. That's my second rule of thumb. I'm going to give you some more rules of thumb. Over 25 years of dealing with investors. That's why I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I don't care what an investor tell me he or she is worth and how much they got to invest. I don't up front. I can tell the serious up front. I can tell the, if I have an opportunity, I can get this done up front. So you don't waste time. Right? So I ain't gonna lie to you, Grand Bahama, the Alukaya thing did never excite me. I was happy to hear about the players, but once I saw a little time pass, and that was that, it was a different story. Somebody says Dunkin' Donuts too, they can't get their hot chocolate consistent too sweet, too bitter, too weak. It's uncanny. That's the scoop size change. Chivago, don't make this political. Don't make this political. Listen to me, man. Don't get me mixed up with your little petty partisan politics, please. Do not. Do not. Because when I am commenting on an issue that has to do with the FNM or the PLP or the DNA, when you all, those of you all who have your preferences, always seem to think you're making some political. I have no partisan political, nothing. I'm commenting on what I have experienced about things, okay? If you, your little petty feelings get hurt, political feelings get hurt, then I suggest you do not listen further because I have more to say. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
The Project Execution Unit of the Ministry of Finance hereby advises that due to inclement weather, the e-mobility workshop scheduled for Tuesday, November 8, 2022 has been rescheduled to Thursday, November 10, 2022 at 2 p.m. And the workshop on bidding documents for solar energy projects and the government procurement portal scheduled for Wednesday, November, held on Friday, November 11, 2022 at 10 a.m. The new dates are all subject to the all clear from the Department of Meteorology.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian. News and views that matter since 1844.
In anticipation of the arrival and passing of Tropical Storm / Hurricane Nicole, which is scheduled to impact the northwestern Bahamas, including New Providence, at about 2 a.m. on Wednesday, November 9, 2022, the Nassau Container Port wishes to advise the general public of adjustments to its normal operating schedule as follows. On Tuesday, November 8th, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 9th, normal operating hours, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., unless advised otherwise, if weather conditions continue to deteriorate. The Nassau Container Port encourages the public to collect all cargo from the port immediately. Cargo left on port property during a hurricane is at risk of damage to include total loss. The Nassau Container Port will remain open until 6 p.m. Tuesday, November 8th, in an effort to facilitate the collection of cargo. Further updates will be provided via local radio and television channels.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Holla if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, this threatening Tuesday afternoon. I always say today is beautiful because, you know, all God's days are beautiful. This, if you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I want you to listen to this text. Let me read this one first. I'll read them in turn. It says, you are not making this political, and you are 100% correct. Thank you. I didn't see why, but let's listen to this text. Resaul, stop it. He got boatloads of concessions. Yes, he was looking for money. And before you deride me, I wrote Saul's cabinet paper. So here's somebody who is trying to trump me on this little bit of information. Well, let me tell you what I just did. I heard a word with the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Hubert Alexander Ingram, who approved Saul's investment. And I asked him a very simple question. When Saul came to you, did he have his money? He said, absolutely, he did. He said he had an insurance, a huge insurance firm out of Britain, and one other partner, he said. He said he absolutely did. So I don't know what cabinet paper you wrote, but you should write it again. Did he get concessions? All investors in the Bahamas who come to the Bahamas know that you have a Hotels Encouragement Act. They know that you have an Industries Encouragement Act. They know that you have various encouragement acts that they can benefit from. If you can do so, why trump me on things that's easily verifiable? So I don't know what cabinet paper you wrote, but let me just remind you, in 1992, November, I was in the Financial Services Secretariat of the Bahamas in the Prime Minister's office, just so you know, okay? This text says, good afternoon. Are you comparing apples with oranges? I'm not comparing anything at all. I would like some of you are so, I'd like you to tell me what you disagree with when I say, or are you just offended that I'm saying I had my doubts about the Grand Lucaya deal? Not immediately, you know, I had my doubts as I watched things go along. What is it about what I said that you disagree with? Do you disagree that if an investor has a identified market, has a reasonable level of profits it believes it can make in an investment, get moving? Is that what you disagree with? Is there anyone who's listening to me who disagrees that if a person has an identified market, believes that they can make good profits doing something and has money to make the investment, that investment is more likely to go than anything else? Is there anyone who disagrees with that? And so I said, when I watched the delay after delay in the due diligence, I said to myself, this don't look good, because that kind of delay in due diligence tells me that the money and the numbers ain't adding up to people. Why are those of you who are offended? Did I say the prime minister is not a good prime minister? Did I say that the deputy prime minister is not a good deputy prime minister and minister of tourism? Was that what I'm saying? Was I complaining that the government is often terrible? Mr. Ingram had investments that did not transpire after approval. One of the big ones for him was KB Luthra. He learned his lesson from that. And after that, he said, listen, I am not doing any more ribbon cuttings. Ribbon cuttings. I'm doing block laying. Right? So I'm sorry that you are so thin-skinned about this, that you feel like it's a political attack. I am not surprised that it has not transpired. The government says it has another investment in the wing. Invest in the wing. Okay, great. Why are some of you so offended? That was my point. He got concessions, simple. And yes, you were my minister at the time. Don't be pedantic. Now I'm being pedantic. I wasn't your minister at the time, bro. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Before some of you open your mouths, you better check your facts. Saul Kirshner came to the Bahamas in 1992. In November, I was a simple investment officer in the prime minister's office. I did not become a cabinet minister until 1997. So how could I have been your minister at the time? You are telling a story about my history. So I'm not going to tell you, you're not. Thank God this is an anonymous note. You just don't have the facts. Worse still, you don't have your own history's facts. And you are not going to get away with saying that was my point. He got a lot of concessions because that's not what you said only. You said, let me read it again since you put it in writing. You said, stop it. He got boatloads of concessions. Yes, he was looking for money. Are you now recanting that? Do you want to fix that now? Do you want to apologize and say I was wrong? Okay? I'm not being pedantic, friend. You just are embarrassed by your lack of facts. That's what it is. So, and now you want to attack me, not the fact that you were wrong. But that's okay. That's an old trick. People used to do that to me in primary school. It says, good day, Lang. Please ignore these psychophants and carry on with your analysis. You will. Please continue. I will. Thank you. I will. You're absolutely right. And you know the person came back, right? They want me to waste time having an argument. Thank you for putting me back on track. Okay, so that's the first. Those are the things. When you see an investor doesn't have those three combinations of things in hand, you can question how high the probability is that investment is actually going to go forward. When you see investors talking too much about what they want to do for the country, as if to sell you some story about their charity, I don't take them as seriously. If you see an investor start talking to you about, oh, we got the IMF, the UN, and the European Bank, when you hear that kind of talk, break off running. Not only are they not serious, they're probably involved with some fraud. Let me tell you it again. If an investor approaches you and tells you, oh, we want to do some stuff in the Bahamas, and we want to get the Bahamas this and the next thing, and you hear them start using words like the IMF, the European Development Bank, and the World Bank, run. Because the World Bank, the IMF, and those deal with countries. The IDB has a private lending arm, but they deal with massive investments. So, and they will come to your country's government to make sure that the government is actually being done, right? And so, but if you hear them people talking that kind of thing and they're not really legitimately involved with the government, break off running. Ain't nothing happening, man. Nothing is happening. The fourth thing that I have learned is serious investors can have mega plans, but they are never so grandiose that it's hard for you to wrap your head around it, right? They're so grandiose. They might have mega plans that you can scale. So Atlantis had phase 1, 2, 3, 4, phase 1, 2, and 3. Bahama was a big project, but you can see how that could have been doable in light of the fact that we had already had a Atlantis, what have you. When you hear these investors around here, but these $3 and $4 billion and so forth and so forth, and they can't really tell you where the money is, and they talk about, you know, they're waiting to this and that, but they're, you know, they can show proof, any proof that you have funding available, and there's one delay after the next, break off running, ain't nothing happening at all about that. It's not gonna happen, right? And so you learn over time to see these kinds of things. When you have an investor who comes to you and their investments of all kinds of parts. Some of it is agriculture. Some of it is manufacturing. Some of it is financial service. This is all in one sum. Don't hurt your head. Ain't a nabnin. Okay, it's just one big flam. Okay, nothing happening, right? And so you just pick up on things that tell you when things are not likely. Now, listen to me. I say it again because some of you, in your bias and in your nonsense, you take people's words and you twist them. I did some due diligence on the buyers for Grand Lucaya. They are substantial, legitimate investors. My doubt came when the delays in their due diligence kept happening, because it reflected to me that their enthusiasm about this investment prospect was not there. They didn't see how to make the money in light of what they were buying. That was clear to me. That's what I'm saying. That was what I'm saying, okay? This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I think some of these stores are priced gouging because cream was $2 and hard salami was about $9. My point is these prices in food stores are high. All right. This text says, thank you, Mr. Lang. You're talking sense. Welcome. This text says, I was going to say you never had that from Wendy's before, so your body reacted, but you said you did. I did. I had one from Wendy's in Freeport. It was excellent. I mean, that's how I got sold on it. Actually, the one I had from Wendy's in Freeport was better than any Frappuccino I ever had from Starbucks. And I tried a Starbucks one after that, and I didn't like it as much as that one from Wendy's in Freeport. So when I saw the one in Nassau and how dark it was, I said, you know, did I order the right thing? Says I could drink about 7 stitchy before I feel froggy. But the first time I had that frap, where my body never had that, I was like someone drunk. The body reacts laughably. And I believe my body did react too, because I don't drink coffee and stuff like that, right? So that caffeine was really, really, I mean, you know, when you can see that brown to the bottom. This text says it will be another loss, but the government should sell the property for $75 million instead of $100 million, but tell them that we withholding the other $25 million in escrow as salaries and taxes for a year. Saul wasn't looking for money, but more investments. He came, yes, a time when there was a recession, but we made it good as a country. It may have not been a perfect deal in the 90s, but it was the best deal for our country. I think PM Davis, the PLP should bite the bullet. Don't sell it for $35 million the FNM wanted to sell it for, but sell it for at least $60, $75 million. Get the airport and grandmama fixed and stop friggin' worrying about building a new prison. Statement from Electra that inflation led to costlier credit. What role would inflation have played in it, and what caused the inflation and credit and construction costs? Inflation would have made it costlier because interest rates are always reflective of inflationary pressures. So remember, an interest rate reflects risk. And so when among the risks, there's political risk, there's liquidity risk, there's a number of risks that are calculated. And among those risks is inflation risk. So they would price in the in interest rate inflation risk. So yes, that could have played a role too, right? That could have played a role. But I mean, maybe the inflation and the construction costs changed the numbers and so forth. Right. But again, though, I mean, like this thing was approved in, you know, almost a year ago. And I just didn't see the kind of enthusiasm that money could be made. Right. I mean, I put no blame on the investors to say anything was amiss. But I wasn't buying it after I saw the delays. Says Juan was saying U.S. stimulus caused the inflation. Juan would be right that a part of the inflation that America is experiencing is because the stimulus that the government put into the economy to the tune of almost $3 trillion put a lot of money in the hands of consumers that made them go out and spend money, and that spending drove up demand, and that demand, in light of supply logistical challenges, combined to produce inflationary pressure. So one would be absolutely right about that. There's anybody who questions that just doesn't understand what has been happening in the U.S. economy. So you are, to my mind, three things at play when it came to inflationary pressure. You had demand side, that was the money put in these people's hand during the pandemic so they could go out there and buy what they need and spend. And then that was in combination with their ordinary money, the ordinary money some other people's had who didn't quite lose their jobs. Then you had this bottlenecks created by the pandemic and on the global supply chain, which made supplies less. So you got more money to make demands and less supply. That combination is a double whammy for increased prices. And then you add the fact that I think what I call opportunistic inflation, where some of these business people, and I'm not treating them as malicious, trying to recoup some of their losses in the pandemic, decided to add one percentage point here, two percentage point there, to their pricing so that they could try to do some recouping. You also have, and I don't, this isn't even doubtful, some of the car companies, the rental car companies in the United States of America, are faced with car shortages because of the supply, but also, I believe, artificially keeping their supplies short so that they can have rates and recoup some of their money. So you had that combination taking place. Another break. When we come back, we will continue to discuss these issues. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. on Guardian Radio 96.9, challenging Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, don't be childish. Challenging your facts does not mean we are offended by your commentary. Come on, stop it. No, challenging my facts does not mean you're offended. You know what means you're offended? Saul, stop it. Why would you say it like that? And before you deride me, where do you think I get the notion that you were offended from? Like, stop it. Talks to people like that. You talk about childish. You know what is childish? Telling untruths and then not apologizing, as you did. You said I was your minister at the time. I told you I was not, and you ain't say sorry about that yet. What do you think is childish? That's what children do, right? Children tell lies or untruths or embellish things, or when caught, they're afraid to apologize. And while you're doing this, arguing your way. And then you can come on and say, oh, by the way, I love your show, so not personal at all. It's not a question of personal to me, man. When I leave the show, I don't think for y'all. I mean, like that, I mean, especially your critics, I don't do that. None of y'all, just like you don't think for me. We go about our business. This is a talk show. This says, would he have come without those concessions? Well, you have to argue. This text says, unfortunately, Mr. Lang, Bahamians are so blinded by politics that they can never, ever be honest with themselves and call a spade, at least some Bahamians, not all. So losing the hotel and FTX is a major blow for this government. We all want them to be successful, but this is a part of the business. Is FTX gone? FTX isn't gone, eh? Still here, eh? Thanks, Mr. Lang, for informing us, the Bahamian people, and don't mind the naysayers and idiots. I wasn't calling anybody idiots, right? But, you know, some folks. And then they just tell me I'm sensitive, right? Yeah, I'm sensitive, boy. But I take a lot. This text says, Mr. Lang, does personality have to do with sales? I'm asking this question because why government scared to try to get a Russian or a German purchaser for the hotel? Because they just trying to offload the hotel or on someone. And you don't mind if it's a Russian or a German, if they're legitimate. I don't think that would be a problem. Is Texas lying? Any government can't keep giving extension when Grand Bahama needs to get the economy going. Next thing you know, 3 years later, we still waiting on that investor. We had to cut the navel string. Listen, I'm not against moving on either. That's not my point. I just was saying I had my doubts after the delays were taking place. Says, good afternoon, sir. I often hear persons on talk shows saying Mr. Kirchner borrowed money from banks and NASA to build Atlantis. Is that so? Absolutely not so. Absolutely untrue. Untrue. What some people don't realize is the banks in the Bahamas, the foreign banks, Scotia Bank is a foreign bank, RBC is a foreign bank, First Caribbean International Bank, they are foreign banks, right? They have international, they have local currency accounts, and then they have foreign accounts that have to do with, so if you see them lend money to an investor, for instance, they didn't lend that from monies in the Bahamas. They lent that from monies outside the Bahamas, their international side of it, right? So no, Kirchner did not borrow, did not get any money from the Bahamas, or otherwise that wouldn't count as a foreign investment. Remember, for it to count as foreign investment, you have to be bringing dollars into the economy. It's Texas, good afternoon, but if we didn't have people like you, who would tell us? Tell these people, sis. Many of us on these shows, we know, we try, you know, we try to say, to speak what we understand, know, believe. We're not right all the time at all, not even close. But It's easy, like if somebody tells you, let's say your mommy tell you you were born in the Princess Margaret Hospital, right? That's what your mommy and your daddy tell you. Let somebody tell you, but you was born in the Rand Memorial Hospital. Really? Right? When you push back and say, but my mother, my father, my birth certificate says that I was born in the Princess Margaret Hospital, listening to you tell me distorted facts. And just because you're shouting at me, and just because you articulate, and just because you, it doesn't make it true. Right? And this is, and so you have to be careful the way people try to play mind games with you, because once people lose an argument with you, here's what they do next. They come at your person. Right? And they lose the argument. And so what happens now is they have to distract. All right, so there are ways to, like, serious investors, even behavioral investors, serious investors, they don't really want to waste time. Because think about it. You remember when Jesus gave the parable and said, a fellow found a precious pearl and immediately sold all he had so that he could buy the pearl, and then another one, the same thing with land. When people find something they really believe could make them some money, they don't waste time. They don't want to hang up. They be pushing your door down. I need to get this permit done. I need to get that permit done. I need to do this. I need to do that. When you hear people talk, and if you listen, and if you're listening to them talk, and the language don't sound right. I remember I want to believe it was Oklahoma to talk to some potential investors for a group of mine. And while I was in their office room, they had to believe that they were talking to an idiot. They had to believe that. They had to believe that by using all kinds of financial terms and what have you, talking about ledger transfers, and we just want to make this alleged ledger transfer and all this kind of stuff. Like, they had to think this brother would just, he's from a little backward country, wouldn't know what he was saying. Listen to me, folks. I sit in that meeting for 15 minutes, and I told them, listen, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for inviting me here, but clearly you are not a fit for us. Thank you very much. And I left because I just knew. I mind you, they had nice little office set up and so forth. But when I walked in the office, see, that's why you're observing, right? I walked in the office, this is your office, and you got this huge operation you say going on. Where the secretary? Where the assistant? Where staff? we had good talk and discussions before that. So there are clear signs that people are fooling you. So don't be so enamored by people and what they look like and what they sound like and etc. You be observant and you listen for the concrete, understandable, believable, evidential submissions that they could make to give bona fides to you. And another thing that I've discovered is when investors ask you certain questions, when questions they ask you, not the ones you ask them and get an answer to, when they ask you certain questions, great cues. They can ask you some questions because the questions that they ask you relate directly to your commitment to the success of the enterprise. And when they ask you those questions, you say, yeah, this is a serious one. Look like I'm dealing with, look like a serious one. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
Keep living this way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage. I'm standing up. I'm facing my demons. I'm manning up. I'ma hold my ground. I've had enough. Now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, challenging as it is, threatening as the weather is. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to give us a call on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, you left, says, but also when Saul came here, it was a different time. The banking system changed a lot. There was no 911. It changed so much. We can't keep comparing the deal with Saul Kirsten in the 92 with deals in 2022. Why? The banking system has not changed so much outside of the KYC rules and that kind of thing. What does that have to do with Saul Kirsner? Saul Kirsner didn't borrow money here, so what that had to do with an investor to then and investor now? The Bahamas' national investment policy is the same. The Industries Encouragement Act and all those things are practically the same. Why can't we? What's the difference? Tell me, please, if you can show me a difference. Don't use the banking system because that doesn't even count. What does that have to do with anything? They don't get financed here. This text says, you left the meeting. That's how Sir Lyndon taught us. We small country, but don't be scared of big investors. Proud of you, Lang. We small as a country, but we punch our weight with the big boys because we have sense when we do. Yeah. This text says, Mr. Lang, not to get off topic, but can you please explain the concept of carbon credits? And how a country like ours would gain a financial benefit from them? Google search is not very clear. I agree with you that you won't get good clarity on it from Google search, but I will deal with that on another day for sure. This text says, apparently FTX had to be bailed out after a surge of withdrawals. Financial Times called it a near collapse. I see that it's, the notion is that it is, Binance, what is the name of that? Binance looks to buy FTX. Listen, y'all would have heard me say this before, so this is no surprise. That whole cryptocurrency environment, it is not straightforward. It is not. See, FTX is a trader of those currencies. So FTX is only providing a service to the buyers and the sellers. But the enthusiasm, they're not buying something that heals you, something that feeds you, something that clothes you, something that shelters you, something that massages you. They are buying something offered to provide a means of payment as the next big thing in currency payment. So most of the people buying and selling right now are buying and selling enthusiasm, optimism. And that's why I'm not there yet. I mean, I'm not a visionary about this thing. And certainly there are people who know abundantly more than I know, but just my basic economic facts tell me that it ain't clear yet what the real economics of this thing are. And I'm not alone. Warren Buffett shares that view, and you know, I think some people have a great deal more respect for him than they do for me. So I mean, that's just my five cents on the matter. Says, good day. You sure Saul didn't get his funding from Scotiabank in the Bahamas? He did not get his funding. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what? I stop. My friend, if you believe that, carry on. Carry on. But I stop. I don't have time to waste. Honestly, I don't. This text says, if you were in government and was armed with all the information the present government had, would you have made the Lucayan deal with that company? Well, I don't know the deal. Have you seen the heads of agreement? Have you seen the due diligence on the company? Have you seen what they offered to do? And what I haven't, so I really couldn't. And I'm not questioning the government's. Listen, that the government enters into a good faith arrangement with investors and it don't work out, that's not new. There's nothing for the government to be ashamed of. There's nothing wrong with that. That happens, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I can't say the government was incompetent and they were stupid. That's nonsense. Nonsense, right? You make a judgment about people and what they can do, and sometimes it doesn't pan out. So those people who, not you, my friend, but those people who getting excited like Lang trying to put something on the government, that's nonsense. If you sit down with people, they show you they have the money, that you believe they have the credibility, and you work a deal and you say, here's your timeline, and that's a sensible thing to do. You give them a timeline. They didn't meet the tagline. You extend it. They don't meet that. You pull out. No problem. I'm just telling you guys, after the thing was announced, after a while, I started to have my doubts. That's all I was saying. You know what I mean? That's all I was saying. And again, my friend who just texted me, I'm not saying you are one of those persons who believes I am trying to attack the government. I'm saying that, you know, I hear you agreeing. That's why I'm saying to you, see, you getting excited. I'm saying, I am not saying you are. I was just on the basis of explaining what you were saying, that I wanted people to know that this is not an issue of saying the government was wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the government was wrong. I'm just saying, Vargo, Sean Lang, after I saw some of the delays and what have you, knowing what I know about investors when they are enthusiastic, I just thought, you know, I wasn't buying it at that point. Someone says risky and unstable. Yeah, that would be a description somewhat for. So you really need this tough row and then poisons ask questions, Mr. Lang. So we appreciate you and what you bring to the radio. Just once a month. I row. Listen to me, man. You're sensitive as hell, man. Listen to me, folks. I want you to, please now, please. You know, because some of y'all drive people to drink, man, right? This is the Bahamas. When some of y'all get so soft. We Bahamians, y'all ever hear Bahamians talk about whether Kobe better than LeBron James or not? Y'all need to stop, man. I think some of y'all listen to me, man. I used to be there in my life too, you know, like where I was, some parts of me was so sensitive that, you know, I used to feel touched by things which shouldn't touch me, right? But yeah, I'm rowing you. Hey, one of my friends told me the other day, oh, that was C. Allen. If C. Allen listening, C. Allen, say text me and say amen. C. Allen telling people, say, man, listen, if y'all think y'all hear Chicago Lang row, you really don't need to hear him row then. Y'all just trying to put this narrative on me, but okay. I wish the government well and the next group of investors they speak to. Grand Bahama could use a viable investor for that property. And hopefully the next set of discussions go better. But maybe the government will learn a bit of lessons from this to the extent that really, right? I mean, don't make an announcement until like the thing is done. If somebody inquires, you say, we're having discussions. But the truth of the matter is, like, until them people them go on the ground and start working to do what they're supposed to do in terms of business pursuits, man, don't make no announcements, man. In Freeport, they ain't gonna buy it. Freeport, people in Freeport? No, boy. They hope deferred makes the heart sick, says the scriptures. You ever heard that expression? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Because what happened? You build up your expectations, you get disappointed, and then boom, nothing happens. Well, what happens is you then start to get you start to get despondent, right? You start to get cynical. And sooner or later, you ain't gonna be even listening no more. So at this point, with Grand Bahama, you know, if they see the thing actually transpiring, boy, now you get all kind of excitement taking place. Again, this is not any critique of the government. Again, if you sit down with people who appear to be viable, capable, interested, and you say, you know what, we think this could work, boom. If it doesn't work out, hey, no harm, no foul. Next. Now, that'd be for Freeport, because on the announcement, they started to have some belief that maybe something could work out. But you know, that happens, man. That happens. You can't make an investor invest. You can only approve an investor. Okay, you can only negotiate terms with an investor. You can't make them invest. Right? So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm rowing. It's the only rowing I'm rowing. I'm only rowing that. How come everybody else gets to be them? I can't be me. What did Whitney Houston documentary say? Can I just be me? Oh boy, what a time. What a time in the Bahamas. What a time. By the way, the person who asked about the carbon credits, I believe that your confusion and lack of clarity about it is not unreasonable at all. There are lots of people asking legitimate questions about how carbon credits work. Now, typically, this is what happens. Like, these countries that signed on to the global agreement to reduce carbon emissions, they signed on to that. Some of them have imposed upon their corporations some limits on how much carbon emissions they can produce as a result of their operations. So let's just say that your company and your industry, so your company in an industry has been given a limit of 100 units of that you can emit on an annual basis, because this is supposed to be an effort to bring down carbon emissions. If you end up exceeding that, let's say by 20. So now all of a sudden you have produced 120 carbon units. What these companies can do is they can go inside their country, or they can go outside the country, say, let's say the Bahamas, and they can say, you know what, the Bahamas has an environmental project that's being undertaken that will extract 20 units of carbon out of the air. Or the Bahamas has an ecosystem somewhere on one of the in the Keys that actually extracts carbon out of the air. So what that company could do is say, in order to reduce my carbon emissions to 100 or even below 100, I'm going to pay the Bahamas for 40 carbon credits, okay? for the that they're producing because of that project or that ecosystem. And so let's say that amounts to $300,000. So then they will pay the Bahamas government. There. So now there's an intermediary in between all this that's supposed to be monitoring and evaluating and sanctioning and validating all of this stuff. And so the Bahamas gets $300,000. This company gets to say they met their carbon obligations by trading off their excess with the Bahamas' project. The next situation for the world is that, okay, by 20, that's the way it is supposed to work. And so maybe you get these carbon exchanges that allows carbon excess producers to come together with carbon extractors, and they can work, broker a deal between them to trade off these carbon credits. That's the idea, the simplistic fundamentals behind that. But it isn't quite so simple as it is made out to be, because there's questions about the validation process, questions about some projects, because some projects have been found to be actually suspect. There's questions about who does the actual verifications and all that kind of thing. And so it's not so simple, but the theoretical framework for it is such as I said. So how the Bahamas itself gets to use its environment to benefit financially, that is not so clear. But though that's what people are working on. And so in time, who knows what could happen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 90s News, Smart Talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you can join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we continue to monitor the storm, Nicole, as it makes its way through the Bahamas, headed in the northwest Bahamas, affecting Grand Bahama, Abaco, Bimini, Berry Islands, and Eleuthera, New Providence. But most especially, the thought is that it will significantly impact those first set of islands that I mentioned. This text says, good day. The DPM said that there are many investors lined up to purchase the Alukaya property, so selling it shouldn't be a problem, in my view, based on the deal that previous administration had that included the purchase of the airport. Sounds like a much better deal. That would be killing two birds with one stone. Okay. Yeah. All righty. I was listening to Captain Stephen Russell from NEMA when he first started to talk about the storm and some people evacuating out of some of these affected areas, that, you know, they can't go in there and forcibly remove anybody and so forth and so forth. And I understood the frustration that that exists when it comes to people deciding they can't, they won't move no matter that they have been ordered to move. But what is the sense of a mandatory evacuation order if you can't force people to leave? I mean, you don't want that confrontation, but what's the point of having a mandatory evacuation order if it can't be enforced, or it won't be enforced, right? To me, it just doesn't add up. And see, people think that it's only on you that you have a mandatory evacuation order, and if you stay there, you die. And they think, some people think, okay, but that's on you. That's not true, though, because you die or you get injured, and in many instances, public resources still have to be utilized in order to find your body, secure your body, you know, maybe deal with you because you've been injured, when that all of that need not have been the case. Right? Also, sometimes you get stuck in a situation where rescue is required, and notwithstanding you didn't obey the order, a state sometimes has great difficulty ignoring a call from a citizen that says, I am in rescue. While it's okay to say, but they had a mandatory order, why didn't you leave? There's still a judgment and assessment made as to how dangerous the circumstances is for a rescue, and there may be still a rescue planned, and so now you're putting the rescuers in harm's way. Sometimes your failure to evacuate could put others in harm's way. So, you know, reasonableness is important in giving effect to the saving of lives and limb and property. But the reason why you have mandatory orders is because sometimes people aren't reasonable. So if the police orders you out of a building that's on fire, they have the right to drag you out of there if you playing crazy. Now, are they going to go run in there when you then on fire, if they gonna cause officers to die, maybe not. But to my mind, a mandatory evacuation order would be useless if you cannot force people to evacuate, especially if you have sufficient warning to be able to send officers in there and say, listen, with the greatest respect to Ali, you know, come out here or we'll drag you out here. Yeah, they can get vexed and carry on. But I bet you, and they come back and that place level and flooded, they'd be thankful. They'd be grateful. All right? So I was kind of little taken. I was querying the posture taken by Captain Russell. I heard on somebody saying Captain Russell is a survivor, that he's been able to endure in that position all these years. And I was thinking to myself, but why not? Like, what has he done? What has he done that would have warranted? He's a civil servant, a former Defense Force officer. Like, what would he have done that would suggest that he should not have been in that position? What has he done to NEMA or not done with NEMA that would have suggested that he should have been moved? He was not a political appointee. Of course, they can move him from there if they want, but I mean, why? Why? I mean, why? He a great deal has been invested in his training and capability in the area of emergency management. You know what I mean? He can't help if one administration spring up a whole new disaster recovery agency around him, which I didn't think made any sense to begin with. Now, the new administration is going to set up another something. Now, if what I heard was by Minister LaRota is going to be a consolidation of all of those emergency management entities, that makes good sense. That makes good sense. But like NEMA is a foundation that's been there for a long while. I can't really understand why we messing with NEMA rather than strengthening NEMA. Like, what is that about? There's FEMA, there's NEMA. Well, strengthen the thing. If it isn't doing what you need it to do, strengthen it to do it. Why are we going to change stationery, get new hires here, new this there, and the next day? I mean, why strengthen NEMA? If you don't like NEMA's structure, change the structure. You don't like NEMA's personnel, change the personnel. You don't like NEMA's mandate, change the mandate. But it's like, why create something else? I mean, you could call it something. You could even call NEMA something else and all. But I mean, you have the rudiments of something. There are people and processes and stuff already invested there. Why would NEMA not be the thing that naturally morphs? I just thought it was insanity, really, to establish what was established under the Minnis administration when NEMA was there. Why? You know why? And let me don't say why. I can't say what they were thinking, but sometimes, you know, to me, like when you want to have your way with the kind of personnel you want to have your way with, sometimes people find it easier just to start something new. It's a waste of resource. It's a waste of time, I think. When you could build on something, build on it, right? Why don't we go in government and say, let's just change the whole government? I mean, by that, I mean, change. Like, let's start a new government thing. We don't do that. You still have a parliament. You still have a cabinet. You still have a judiciary, right? I just don't get it. I don't get it. And to my mind, I mean, you know, Captain Stephen Russell is a faithful civil servant, right? I mean, this man, you know, commits himself, does what he has to do. Is he perfect? Is any of us? Is NEMA perfect? Is any institution in this country perfect? Really? I just don't get it. He's not a survivor. Captain Russell is a civil servant. That's what he is. He's a civil servant. Right? Says Lang, even in America, they have mandatory evacuation, but many times they said they will not physically remove anyone. Maybe so. I understand that. But you know, in America, they have millions and millions of souls. Maybe it's impossible. So I understand. I'm just saying. But I, with the captain, if I came once, twice, I would not come again if danger endangers others. I agree, they'd stop being stupid. Some Bahamians. Some Bahamians, right? People are difficult. Sometimes people are, people been from the big, from the very beginning, we've been difficult. And there's a price to pay for it in all kinds of ways, in life, in limb, in property, in relationships. It's all kind of prices to be paid for being excessively difficult. Right. And so you could only want folk to do the right thing. I remember a couple of people who in Grand Bahama who tried to weather the storm. Fortunately for them, they survived. But boy, their tone changed after that. I ain't doing that no more. Not fooling with that no more. Lesson learned. Unfortunately, in the process, some of that lesson was about getting people, causing people to lose their life. Say, you like to correct me, so I will start saying some. Okay, so yeah, I got to do that because, you know, you can't call everybody stupid. I mean, I know what you mean, right? I do that with my kids too when we are discussing. Sometimes I generalize that way too, but I try not to. And I'd say that to my kids too. I say, you can't say all women this, man. You can't say all men that, right? You can't say all politicians this, all preachers that, all parents this, because there's exceptions for sure. Sometimes even the rule disproves the statement. So now I'm picking on you, just saying. Just saying we got to be careful. Yeah, I recall some of the experience I had in Dorian, in Francis, and in Jean, and their view was that based on that, some people are of the view, listen, man, Zhivago, depending on the size and nature of the storm, if I can get out of this country and go somewhere and shelter, they said, I will do exactly that. And I can understand that sentiment. I really could, because some of the experiences that people had really was scary. I mean, and traumatic, because I know one person who had to just watch their loved one float away. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having to deal with that? Right? Just float away. See them no more. I mean, just like, that's not rough. So some people pledge that next storm, depending on what the warning is, stay out of here. Some people say, oh, that's not patriotic. Patriotic? What does patriotism have to do with it? If you can, if we're told to flee to safety and you believe that the safest place that you can flee to and you can afford to do so is really out of harm's way of the storm altogether, well, how is that not patriotic? That's, patriotism doesn't precede up or is superior to life preservation, because you can't be patriotic dead, right? You might die for patriotism, but if you can live and survive, I don't see that as being sense. You think about your children and you think about your spouse and your family, and if you could get them out of harm's way until the storm passes, well, what's wrong with that? If you're coming back, especially can't say I'm not patriotic if I go and come back. Now, if I go and don't come back, well, you could start to question patriotism then, you know, and even then it's a question of my life and what I want to do with it and what I need to do with it to be able to secure my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations. I don't come down on people for making decisions about their lives and advancing their interests and causes and so forth and so forth. I don't do that. Because some people who live in the Bahamas all their life ain't doing nothing but tearing the Bahamas down. How is that patriotic? You're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we'll continue and finish up our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Isn't it time you called? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns, like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this cloudy Tuesday afternoon. This text says, okay, last one. Lang, you remember the hurricane in 2004? The hurricane beat up many countries, beat us up, gone through almost all states in America. Came back and struck the Bahamas again. Wow, that was epic. We never had that before. But some Bahamians need to make sure their houses are stronger, not spending $50,000 and $30,000 fixing cars or keep traveling. Some of us make trades on what we do with our money and securing. A lot of times we make those trades based on the immediate thing we want to do. And if that happens to be the summer travel, that's what we can do. Christmas and stuff, chances are we're going to do that. We only think about these risks a lot of times when they manifest right in our faces. So that's good advice to try and secure the home as best as possible, but that's not always as enjoyable as flying over the waters, getting your car rented at the airport, and dashing straight to Walmart, straight to Marshall's, straight to TJ Maxx. If you want them big shot Bahamians, you're going to Macy's or what else they shop at? Because I don't know them big name stores, you know? Neiman Marcus. And that's fun and exciting. And then you come back home and you deal with the storm when you have to deal with the storm. That's just the way it is. So be safe. You know, storm is coming. You can feel the weather changing now. You know, you can see it building up. I got a call and find out what's happening in Freeport, because I think it's tonight where it's supposed to begin getting the worst of it, and then into tomorrow and in West Palm sometime tomorrow afternoon. The airport is closed. I got a call this morning from the airline saying that we understand you're supposed to travel with us tomorrow. Well, the airport is closed, so we want to reschedule you to leave on Thursday. So that's the way it is. I expected that such could be the case, so was no problem. I spoke at was on a panel with Rupert Pinder at BICA, the Bahamas Institute for Chartered Accountants, and they had a session on inflation. And so I came to deal with that. I have my son with me. And he spent the day enjoying himself where he was, and he ain't got no problems where he is enjoying himself. So we expected to be kind of stuck here. And fortunately, we can do that without too much difficulty. So I hope we're going to hope for the best, right? We'll know by tomorrow, today, in case you didn't know. It's a lot at stake in the United States of America. A lot at stake. At the state level, there's election for governor. At the state level, there are elections for state representatives. Even at the municipal level, I think there are some local government positions available. And then, so at stake is the balance of power in the Senate and the Congress. And so in the United States, you got to have some cooperation in those two houses of the legislature in order to get some things done. Otherwise, his program and policies could be dead in the water. And so there are questions about whether the Democrats will hold on to the Senate, because they have really a 50-50 tie in the Senate, and Vice President Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker where the vote calls for it. The Democrats control the Congress, but there are some who believe that it is likely that the Democrats will lose both houses. Some, even though recently there's been a surge in Democratic enthusiasm. You know, some Bahamians are very keenly watching those races. There are some Bahamians who are firmly Republican in their leanings, and there are some who are firmly Democratic in their leaning. But the United States has a seriously divisive, caustic, political environment going on right now. I mean, you know, it's really something. There's a great deal of anxiety around the distrust of the electoral process, and a great deal of anxiety around the changing of various policies as a consequence of changing the power dynamic in the legislature, realities of voting itself. So a lot at stake tonight. So for some of those who are political enthusiasts, I suspect that they should be up all night trying to see what the election results come to be, even though I suspect that it will not be abundantly clear tonight. It may not be. It may not be abundantly clear who the winners are, because some of those seats, for instance, Georgia, may end up in a runoff because none of the parties, none of the political candidates get sufficient majority to win outright. And in the Georgia context, that means a runoff. So possibly between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, that could happen. Pennsylvania, another race that's going to be looked at closely. Nevada, it's going to be a long night. Say I will be up all night, so I suspect it'll be a long night. And these things have implications for us too. Right? They do. They do. They have implications for countries like ours because changing policies, changing dynamics. We spend a lot of time in the U.S. We have family in the U.S. We have policies that are tied to the U.S. We have relationships that's tied to the U.S. And so, you know, as go their politics, so go some of those things. And so we'll see. This text says, climate change reminds me about crypto. It's fluffy. I believe the scientists are fully invested, but the leaders and the decision makers, not so much. They don't understand it. They're not interested. The conferences appear to be a reason to attend a nice conference with interesting people. Why do I say that? Where's Prince Charles? He just got magic power and he just from the fight. Prince Charles, King Charles is trying to steal the way. So, you know, you are letting up the most likability for him. This text says, good day. The deputy prime minister said that there are many investors lined up to purchase the Isle of Kaya property, so selling it shouldn't be a problem. Okay, we already read that. This text says, I was supposed to go for the day tomorrow. Okay. Say, but why are airlines not giving refunds? I don't know. Maybe they blame in force majeure. But I don't know about refunds, because if they can rebook you, I know Bahamas Air has done it. They are waiving the change booking penalty. So, you know, if you can be rebooked, because, you know, they can't be responsible for the weather. So if you have a hurricane like this, that's force majeure. So then what they have an obligation to do is to get you rebooked. So if you don't travel altogether and you say, well, they should refund me, I don't know, but maybe your ticket remains valid so you can use it another time. And that seems fair enough to me. All right. You can't hold the people hostage for something beyond their control. This text says, I want the Democrats to keep everything, but I think if the Republicans win the House, there will be more bills passed and compromises. You think so? Them folks, some of them folks have some extreme views about life, you know. So you can't compromise on some extreme views, you know, that might upset your base too much. So we'll be watching, see what happens in the United States of America for the party in the presidency to get a shellacking in the midterm elections. That's just been typical. So President Barack Obama he called it a shellacking when he lost in the midterm. President Trump lost huge in the midterm. He lost both the House and the Senate in his midterm and wasn't reelected, unlike had happened for most presidents. Bill Clinton got a serious beating in the midterms as well. So if history is any informer, the Democrats are staring down the barrel of a gun. But history can always be remade, and one will have to see. I don't know. I can't tell one way or the other, but we'll see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. God bless you. You all have a great evening. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe out there, folks. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you make it down. See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.